Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. I'm at the table with you today. And if you have a piece of paper, I'd like you to sketch something out on it. If you have been in our NLC Spring Wednesday night gatherings, you received already the image that I am going to talk you through. So if you already have yours, pull it out. But for those of you that aren't able to be in the listening audience in the room, I just want you to do this along with me today. Take out a blank piece of paper and draw a tree. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the attributes of it just so you can fully understand it and walk through it with us. First of all, down the middle of your paper, of course, make a trunk. You decide how you want that trunk of your tree to look. At the bottom of your trunk, make sure you actually show some roots. On the free Google image that I printed for us, there's actually 2, 4, 6, 8, there's 10 little tendril roots that come out. And then at the top of the trunk, there are branches. There's actually 5 for those of you that want to be totally specific to the imagery. There's 5 branches, and then off of each branch, there are leaves. So put 5, 4, 3 leaves on each branch, so it looks like a very abundantly growing tree. And basically, this is going to refer back to Luke 6, which I had a podcast about an overview of this Luke 6, the checklist about our fruit foundation and faith, but we're going to explore it more. We're actually going to explore it in 2 episodes, this one and one more. So up at the top of the leafy part of your tree, I want you to write down our fruit. And this is going to come from Luke 6, 43 through 45. By the trunk, I'd like for you to write down our faith. Our faith. This is going to come from Luke 7, 1 through 10. And then at the bottom with your root system, I invite you to write down our foundation. This comes from Luke 6, 46 through 49. Our foundation. Okay, so you have your tree image and your scripture references. So let's start first by talking about our fruit. This comes from Luke 6, 43 through 45, and I'm just going to read it. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. All right, this is a fruit check. So if you look at a plant, or if you look at a tree, the quickest way to judge if it is healthy is its fruit, its branches, its leaves. And if it's fruit bearing or flowering, you can look at that. You can look to see if it's dry or brittle. If you don't know for sure on a plant, you can break a little part of the branch that appears dead, that's nothing coming off of it. If you snap it and there is absolutely no green at all in the very middle internal part of that branch, then it is dead. It is dead wood. It will never bear again. But if you snap or break what appears to not be producing fruit, and you see any internal green, Even though it has dead, dark, brittle brown around it, there is still life inside that. Believe me, I am a plant-aholic, and I have tested crepe myrtle, hydrangeas. I have tested my plants to be like, this is doing nothing. It's producing nothing. Is it dead? So I have to do the break, or I have to get my little cutters and cut at an angle, cut at a 45 degree angle. And if there is no green inside there, then I have to come to the realization that it is done. At least that section is. So I cut it back. I've done it on my rose bushes. But if there is green in there, then don't give up hope. So what often happens in our own lives is that if we're doing a self-reflection, we may come to the realization that, wow, I am not in a season right now of bearing much or possibly any fruit for God. I have no spiritual fruit that I see. I am not giving any action of spiritual fruit. I have no outside examples of being alive for Christ. But that does not mean if you really examine your life, if you know you have a time and a place that you can recall that you came to the realization that you were a sinner and that you knew Jesus Christ was sent by God in the form of a man to die and bleed and be the sacrifice for your sins, and you asked him into your heart to be your Savior, then you still have green inside. You still have green inside. If you have never come to that realization, if you've never experienced that moment, that unforgettable moment, that ability to go back and recall the time and place and space and where you were when you did realize that, then that is your first step. That is your first step, because he died for all of us so that those who live might no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him. 2 Corinthians 5:14, John 3:16. You have to know that you know that you know that Christ died for your sins. So, if we stop and look at our fruit, there's a possibility that we are convicted and we feel guilty, but that is of Satan to cause us to be discouraged. The Holy Spirit can allow us to be convicted so that we ask forgiveness and we surrender, but we are compelled to continue, that we live for him and not ourselves, and we listen to the Holy Spirit's truth and not Satan's lies. Let's look at Proverbs 14:14 for another verse about fruit. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. So what I want you to realize is that heart of us that is like, wow, I'm so far gone. I have been wayward, or I've just been lousy. I've been lazy. That is going to discourage you from taking any steps forward. But if you stop and say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my lack of fruit. I come to you knowing that you are the only one who can offer us the ability to produce fruit. Let's look at a verse, Psalm 105:24, because we can't produce the fruit on our own. Just like a plant can't do it without the roots. Psalm 105:24, and the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. So you can't go out to the store and buy fruit and come home and stick it on a plant and say, well, then grow. So any of you that are thinking, well, I'm just going to force fruit. I am going to choose something and I'm going to make it happen. That won't work. That's not how God allows us to be fruit bearing. How God allows us to be fruit bearing is that we quit looking at the outside production of flowers or fruit, that we quit focusing on what it looks like from the top of the plant, or we quit comparing people to ourselves or people to people. And we actually don't even look at the moment at the trunk, but let's go all the way down to the foundation. That's where we've got to start. Bearing fruit is not just about outward perceived appearances or actions. It's about a continual transformation of heart, mind, and soul and character that allows us to produce or bear good, godly behavior, good, godly intentions, and good, godly outcomes. But you can't fake it. You have to faith it. But before we get to the trunk of faith, we're going to go all the way down to the foundation. I'm going to read you something from John Piper. You can't do anything without Christ. Our call is to abide in Him. Your fruit depends on Him. There are no branches without a vine. That's speaking to our foundation. And when it says anything, it means anything. You can't do anything apart from Christ. We can't think right, speak right, feel right, act right, do right. We can't do anything apart from Christ. So if you feel like you're dying on the vine, it's because we got to check our vine. We have to first abide in Him. Our life has to be centered and surrendered on Him, and then the fruit will come. We don't look at the fruit first. Proverbs 12:12, the root of the righteous bears fruit. The root of the righteous bears fruit. We have to remain thoroughly grounded in faith of Christ, in the help of the Comforter, Holy Spirit, to seek from God in His Word the strength of our foundation. We have to deepen our communion with God. That's how we bear good fruit. We bear good fruit of Him by anchoring ourselves in Him, which if you have been listening, if you've been a part of our Becoming Fully Devoted Wednesday gatherings that ended, we've been talking about the feel will that leads us to God's will. It's because all we have is our human emotions, and we need to use our human emotions to lead us to His will. We've got to get out of us and our head and go to the head, which is God. God is our Godhead. So for a minute, we're going to quit thinking about our fruit, what we are doing or aren't doing, or what we can't do or we have done or we should do. Let's forget about that. Forget about that. Let's go all the way back down to the foundation check. So let's go to Luke 6, 46 through 49. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. All right, the person speaking in the previous verses I read about the fruit, and then this one about building your house on the rock, is Jesus. Jesus. These are the words from Jesus. So first of all, he's saying your fruit is really telling you what your foundation is. That's what it's saying. Your mouth will speak what your foundation is. You will act on what your foundation is. You will be led by what your foundation is. You will bear good fruit if your foundation is good. You'll bear bad fruit if your foundation is bad. So let's talk about our foundation. So then what in the world should we do to have a stronger foundation? Okay, the first analogy I want to have you think about is my sourdough bread. So first of all, I was compelled to start baking sourdough bread. If you think about the word compel and you actually look it up, it just means that you are drawn to something, that something's been impressed upon you, that you have this great desire to turn it into action. So I was compelled, I won't get into the hows and the why, but I was compelled of late to start baking sourdough bread. So the fruit of the idea that I was compelled was to achieve these wonderful outcomes of loaves of bread. That was my desire. I immediately was like, hey, I'm compelled to bake sourdough bread, and my fruit would be these amazing loaves of sourdough bread. I want them to look the right color. I want them to feel the right texture. I want to be able to slice through them beautifully. I want the texture inside to be wonderful. I want myself, when I eat it, to like it. I want other people, when they eat it, to like it. Okay, so immediately I went from I have a desire to an outcome. My desire is great loaves of bread. Now, what hit me was I tried it. If you've listened to other podcasts and me talking about my sourdough bread, I Googled, I watched videos, I got help from friends, I ate some friends' breads and was like, oh, that's good, I can do that. Fail, fail, fail. My first and over again results of my sourdough bread were utter failure. It was not the right consistency. It kind of looked good on the outside, actually. I'd take a few pictures and I'm like, well, this looks good. Then I'd cut into it and I'm like, oh my goodness, it was ooey, it was gooey, it was gummy. My husband was trying to be so kind and was like, no, it's not bad. I'm like, no, it's bad. He'd be eating it, I'd be pitching it. He's like, you're throwing that all away? You put all those ingredients into it. I'm like, it's flour, it's water, it's a little bit of salt. It's not worth having. So I was just almost getting discouraged, but I was so compelled. I was so compelled. And I do not consider myself really like in a family. I have my husband and my three children. They are very competitive in athletics. They all play sports. And they're healthily competitive. I don't mean it's a negative thing. It's just a healthy competition that they have in sports. I cheered in high school, but I did not play a sport. But I find myself personally competitive, if that makes sense. So I was compelled to do this. I had an outcome in mind, so I was not going to give up. I was going to sink my teeth into this, and I was going to do it right. So I just kept reading and scouring information and digesting all it is about it and putting in questions to Google, like, why is my sourdough bread gummy? And I came upon a perfect reason for why I had gummy bread. It literally was that I did not have a strong starter. I was like, what? So I'm actually going to read this to you. This is actually word for word off of Google. When I put in, why do I have gummy sourdough bread? The strength of sourdough bread starter is crucial for achieving a light, airy bread. A strong dough holds its shape and prevents a loaf from spreading too thin and losing its form. The strength of the dough is directly related to its ability to spring in the oven under heat. In essence, a strong sourdough starter is essential for achieving the desired characteristics of a good loaf. Essential. The sourdough starter needs to build, needs to stretch, needs to fold, needs to be pulled, needs to be slapped. It's the stretch and pull that develops the gluten. And if your starter is not right, you will never have a prize-winning end result, good loaf of bread. So I was like, oh my goodness. I immediately went from, I want a good sourdough loaf, to what's wrong with my sourdough loaf? Other people have good sourdough loaf. I'm watching videos about them. I'm eating them. What's wrong? I thought I was doing all the directions right by the letter of the law. I thought I was. What I was skipping over in my impatience to have this outcome was the strength in the starter. It was all the way back at the foundation. I was skipping the most crucial step. I was not allowing enough time for the development of the gluten. So therefore, it didn't matter anything that I did after that skipped point. It was never going to turn out right. It didn't matter anything else. I had failed at the foundation. So, how does this relate? All right, I can give you verses upon verses upon verses about spiritual fruit. I'm going to list some. Genesis 1:29, Numbers 13:23, Matthew 7:16 through 20, Galatians 5:22 through 23. John 15:5, Matthew 13:3-9, Matthew 13:18-23, Luke 6:43-45, Proverbs 14:14, Proverbs 12:12. But here's what I want you to know. It does not matter how much you study and desire to bear good fruit and have a good godly outcome. What matters is that you go all the way back and really, really, with conviction from the Holy Spirit, look at the strength of your starter. What is your foundation? What is your foundation? That is the first and most crucial check on the checklist. Is your foundation weak? And if so, how do you strengthen it? And that's what we're going to talk about. And before I give you verses and we talk more about that, I want you to listen as I reread what Google said was wrong with my starter, why I was getting gummy bread. But listen to me read it like it's referring to us as believers. The strength of a believer is crucial for achieving a light and joyous and trusting character. A strong foundation in God and God's word is what holds its shape and prevents us as daughters of the King from spreading too thin and losing all form of godliness. The strength of our foundation with God in his word is directly related to our ability to spring under the heat of life and daily trials. In essence, our strong foundation in God and his word is essential for ever achieving the desired character of God that we can reflect as good Christian daughters of the King, sisters in Christ. But we cannot fight against or become debilitated by or be anxious or feel God has left us as he builds us, stretches us, folds us, pulls us, and slaps us. It's what's developing our godly character. It's the gluten. And here's what happens. It happens for me. It happens for you. What happens is things are going along pretty good, and all of a sudden, ouch, stretch, ooh, fold, pull, slap, and we immediately go to, God, what's going on? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why have you done this? Why have you left me? He's like, I haven't left you. You are the dough starter. I have a desired loaf that I want to come from you. I want fruit to be born from you that helps my kingdom mindedness. And you are resisting against the very thing that I want you just to relax into and patiently abide with me and let me work through you. Let me develop you. It is for your good and ultimately for mine. But we resist against the very thing that he is using to strengthen us. So now let's get to some verses on foundation. Genesis 1:1, Job 38:4-6, Psalm 104:5, Isaiah 28:16, Matthew 7:24-25, 1 Corinthians 3:11, Ephesians 2:19-20, Luke 6:46-49, Matthew 7. So how do we strengthen our starter? Luke 24:45-48. We open our hearts, mind, and soul, and we put in the work of diligent dedication to reading the Word of God. And then he opens our minds to understand the scriptures through the Holy Spirit's revelation to us. Luke 24:52-53, we worship him with joy. We continually come to the temple. That means continually communing with other like-minded believers, going to church, having accountability group, gathering with other women, listening to podcasts, listening to worship music. We offer thanks and blessings despite our present gluten building. So we're feeling stretched and slapped, and we're in a struggle. Hey, reach out to other people. Tell them I'm hurting. I need help. Allow them to come around you and go, girl, we've got you. We are praying for you. We know this is God developing you, or God's allowing you to be developed by this. He's got you. Psalms 100:1-5. We have to remember his words. We have to remember his words are true. We have to remember all of his character. Everything that is happening to us is for our good. And by reading the Word of God, committing to it, communicating with him, it's enduring our stability. It's allowing us to know he is who he says he is. He's done it before for a then and a them. He can do it now for us. But we can't be worried about our fruit until we reclaim our foundation. So ask yourself, what are you doing regularly to sit in and abide with God? How is your foundation becoming stronger? So ask yourself a few of these quick questions. How often do you meet with God alone, personally, private? When do you do it? Where do you do it? What are you doing when you have that time? Those are all things that I have previously discussed in podcasts that you can go back and look up. Basically, what to do in God's Word, how to communicate with other people about God's Word. But you have to look at how you are spending your time with God. That's the foundation. That's the first and most important step, is that you know God, that you meet with God, that you seek the Holy Spirit's revealing to you the truth of his word, and then you seek to apply it. That's where we're going to stop today. And next Monday, we'll talk about our faith, which is critical. That's what gets us from our foundation to our fruit. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Monday. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.